Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 is one of the most special promises in all of Scripture. And if you're like me, you learned it from flashcards when you were probably in second or third grade, and I always got the math ones mixed up with this flashcard, so I'd be doing, you know, what's 7 times 5, and then all of a sudden, oh, Isaiah 7:14, and that pops up, and the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel. And if you had a child growing up in church, likely they said it for the children's Christmas service because it's just one sentence, one passage. It's easy for a third grader to memorize it. And I look forward to hearing this passage every time this time of year. But I'm guessing that the three verses that come before Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 are much less familiar to all of you. And sadly, the first people to ever hear this wonderful promise from God, they dismissed it completely as if it were spam mail in your junk folder. And let me take you back to the time of ancient Israel, to the first people, maybe even the first person who heard this promise. The first thing you need to know is about the ruler of God's people at this time, King Ahaz. Do you remember him? He was possibly one of the worst kings Israel had ever seen, the most wicked king ever, godless, heartless, faithless king. For example, he took Baal idols, you know, gods of the Babylonians, and he set them up in God's temple. He did that. He also set up many other altars to other gods and religions. But worst of all, King Ahaz is known for sacrificing his own sons to other gods. King Ahaz was the farthest king from the Lord's heart, and as the result, many of the people had fallen away from faith in God as well. So not only during this time when this promise came out was the king very bad, that the people were starved of any spiritual leadership at this time, but on top of that, the geopolitical situation in this time was very tumultuous. And what I mean by that is that the kingdom of Judah was not at rest. They were constantly at war with other nations. And so let me show you kind of what was happening at this time. So King Ahaz is in control here. Let me see if the pointer. So he's in control of Judah. Okay, he's the king here. But what happened was the king of Israel, King Pekah, at this time, this is not working very well. The king of Israel and the king of Aram, way up here, these two northern kings, they allied together to come and attack the kingdom of Judah down south. And they had already launched several attacks against King Ahaz and the people of Judah. And they were very successful attacks. The history goes that during one of these attacks, they captured 120,000 soldiers, Jewish soldiers. And on top of that, they took 200,000 more captive. And so King Ahaz is deathly afraid of all of these attacks. And even though King Ahaz was a wicked king and he deserved to be destroyed, God decided to send his prophet to King Ahaz to assure him. And Isaiah told him, yes, these wicked kings are plotting against you, but keep calm, don't be afraid. So everything that from King Ahaz's point of view was terrible, right? He thought that they would overtake him and plunder them and seize the city and perhaps take his own life. But then God told Ahaz, it will not happen. It will not take place. So God directly tells King Ahaz, you've got nothing to worry about. He couldn't have reassured King Ahaz any clearer than he did at this moment. But do you know what Ahaz's response was? Do you think he trusted in the Lord? No. Instead, he tried taking matters into his own hands, and what he did is he took the silver and the gold that was in the temple, and he shipped it off to the king of Assyria, over here on the east, in the northeast, it's off the map. He shipped it over to them, to him, to bribe the king of Assyria to come and help him and fight against the northern kings. Ahaz didn't trust the Lord at all. He didn't pray to God. He didn't respond in any way to God's clear message of deliverance. I think that deserves some time to think about a little bit. God graciously reached out, personally reached out to him, to this unbelieving and wicked king, and gave him this incredible promise, and he rejected it. And I think this reveals some important truths about God. Number one, that his grace extends to all people, even the most wicked of people. And secondly, that God's patience is beyond measure. If you got a direct message from God's premier prophet at this time, how would you react? Many of us long to hear from God directly, right? Wouldn't you like to hear, oh yeah, that surgery you're worried about, it's going to be fine. Wouldn't you long for God to tell you, you know, I know what you're anxious about. I know you're anxious to send that bill. I know you're anxious about traveling. I know you're anxious about finishing that last project or taking that last test. It's going to be fine. Keep calm. Don't be afraid. Imagine if the Lord spoke directly to you like that. Maybe it's not in those exact words, but the truth is that God does speak directly to us. He tells us in his word, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, present your requests to God. Because the peace of God will come over you. It goes beyond your understanding, but you will have peace. Just like God was not far from King Ahaz, he is not far from us. He's not out of touch with your life, with what's going on, with your worries. Instead, he invites you to present your requests to him, and he promises to give you peace, even if you don't understand how that peace is going to come to you. Let that promise from God comfort you this Christmas. You know, someone who didn't let God's promise comfort him was King Ahaz. He ignored God's word completely. And so what do you think that God should do with this faithless, rebellious man? That's where the story gets pretty interesting. Because rather than punishing King Ahaz, God speaks a second time to him. And since Ahaz didn't take the Lord at his word, God invited Ahaz to, with this special offer, to ask for a sign, right? He says, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. God's saying, ask for anything from hell to heaven. Nothing is out of God's reach. I'm going to let you choose anything in the world to ask for, and that sign will prove to you that I meant what I said, that it's not going to happen. You're not going to be destroyed. Right? This was God offering to strengthen the faith of Ahaz, even after Ahaz had rejected him at his word. But what was the king's response? says, I won't ask. I won't put the Lord to the test. Ahaz refused. This is a different situation than like if I were to have a plate of cookies right here and walk down the aisles and offer you a cookie and you take it, right? I'm not trying to play any games or mess with you or anything. I just want to give you something good, a good, delicious cookie, right? God was trying to give Ahaz a sign, something good, to show him that he had nothing to worry about, that he could trust in the Lord for his life. But he didn't. And now we reach the verse that you know so well, Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. When Isaiah spoke to King Ahaz, I don't know the tone of voice that he said, but I almost imagine him saying, okay, you won't ask for a sign? I see how it is. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Then, King Ahaz, be careful what you don't ask for, because God will give you grace anyway. King Ahaz was stubborn. His heart was so far from God. And you and I, with our sinful nature, are no different. Before God calls us to faith, we have no desire to be with God or listen to his word or trust in his promises. But that's what makes this pure gospel. The Lord comes to us simply because he loves us so much. And if that's not clear after this story, after Ahaz rejected him not once, not twice, but three times, God still shows him grace. How many times have you rejected God in your life? Once? Twice? Three times? Thousands of times? And yet, he keeps coming to us in grace. And he speaks to us words of comfort and peace. And now, with this one verse, God's plan of salvation has become clearer than it ever has before. It's going to come through God's Son, who he's going to send to be with us. That's what Emmanuel means, right? God with us. True God and true man, we say it in the creeds every time. 100% human, 100% God. This is the sign of God's deliverance. It's how he's going to save his people from their sins. And today, you and I have the privilege of seeing how that unfolded, right? This was 700 years before Jesus was born. But we get to read Matthew's account in his gospel. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel is such a wonderful name for Jesus. He has so many different names, right? Lord, Messiah, Prince of Peace, Redeemer, Good Shepherd, but Emmanuel is one of the most beautiful ones ever. Because through our sin, we don't deserve to have God be with us. And yet, Christmas night came, and Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem nonetheless. So how do we respond to this wonderful promise, this grace that God has given us? Don't we sing our songs? Today in our first hymn, we sang, true God and yet true man, from sin and death he saves us. That's Emmanuel. In the second hymn, Tanya led us in singing, peace came to earth at last that chosen night when God embodied love and sheathed its might. Who could but grasp Emmanuel? Who could but sing Emmanuel? In the third hymn, our hymn of the day, we sang, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Each time we do that, we proclaim that God has freed us not from the bondage of chains, but the bondage of sin. So yes, he deserves all our songs and all our praises. And in a few moments here for our last hymn, we're going to sing O Little Town of Bethlehem. Do you know how that song ends? O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. God with us. In the middle of all the darkness in the world, the darkness in your life, Jesus comes to be with you. And because Emmanuel has come, you are saved. Because Emmanuel has come, you are forgiven. Because Emmanuel has come, you have love, joy, peace, hope. So today, when you leave, when you get to your home, how many of you have manger scenes, nativity scenes at home? Okay, pretty much everyone here. If you don't have one at home, I bet you're going to see one on the drive back. Look at the manger. Look at the cradle. That's God with us. Jesus, our Emmanuel. And then after all Christmas is over, right? After all the decorations are gone from here in church, from inside your homes or out on your front lawns, then look at something else. Look at the cross. God with us on the cross to save you, to deliver you, to give you peace. Emmanuel. Amen. And may the peace of God, which goes beyond our understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.